We're going to look this evening again at Thanksgiving, the will of God. You know that. I've preached out of 1 Thessalonians 5, I think, over the last couple of Thanksgiving weeks here. And so I hope to bring something maybe a little bit fresh and new other than what I preached before. But thinking about that, if you have a Bible app on your phone or computer, you can type in the search thanks or Thanksgiving, and you'll be surprised at how many verses actually have that in it. And I did that. I've done that many years for, but it's just a great reminder of how we are, our position, and we'll look at that in a minute, our position of Thanksgiving. Now, notice, if you will, this again is a church that Paul's writing to, and it's a church that is a very, it's a church that he loves and he's very concerned about, and he appreciates them very much because of their growth in grace, their growth in the Lord, but they were confused about a lot of things. And Paul writes this first letter to them to remind them of several things and to encourage them and give them some directives and commands. And if you will, notice with me, let's go ahead and start in verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore, he says. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Then he says this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So there's just a handful, if you will, of directives given by Paul to this church and what to do. But obviously tonight, you know, we're going to hone in here on verse 18, as he says, in everything give thanks. Now, this is something that is often talked about or preached, and it's easy to say and hard to do. Because it is, we want to give thanks in everything, but it's difficult to do, isn't it? As I said this morning, when things are good, everything's going well, it seems like stuff is just happening, clicking on all cylinders, and then that one number five cylinder goes kapowie. Have you ever had a car do that? Boom! And you go, oh man. I was driving, this is just a rabbit trail I'm chasing, okay? But I was driving my truck one morning, and I was going up 14, and the thought came to me, and I said, this truck is running so well. I said, this truck is running great for the year. It was an older truck, you know. I thought, man, as soon as I said that, there goes the engine. It goes, blah, 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 you know. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. I should not have boasted in that. But anyways, we ought to be thankful. And thinking through this. Now, a couple things here tonight. I won't keep you long, but thinking about this. Number one, notice he says in everything. Notice the position in. In. It's not prior to, if you will, or even after. It's like that, isn't it? After we've gone through something, then we go, you know, Lord, thank you for letting me go through that. Well, that's not how it was when we were right in the smack dab middle of it. When you were right in the middle of the problem, you were not saying, oh, God, thank you for this. You were struggling. I was struggling with it. We were saying, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But notice this, the position in. When you're right in the middle of it, it takes Christian maturity to say thank you. Oh, it's so difficult to do sometimes as you think about it. And seeing this here tonight, he says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, notice this, in every position, in every circumstance, and in everything that comes your way, be thankful. Give thanks. It's a sacrificial thing, thirdly. Sacrificial. As we see here, we give the thanks to God, and we ought to give thanks. And we have that. We know in the Old Testament, time and time again, people would come and offer a gift, if you will, to the Lord of thanksgiving. And they would give it. There's a sweet-smelling savor that would go up to God. We know that. And you think about the sacrifice that was given to Him. Now, so many Christians tonight, today around the world, we know that. They do not take time to give thanks to Him. It takes sacrifice. Take sacrifice. It hurts. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts to say thank you when you don't understand, when it's not a good situation. When you lose money, it's not fun to say thank you. Man, it hurts to say that. When you are in a position where you are being taken advantage of, when people are hurting you, kids are disrespectful, when things are not going as smoothly as you thought it would in the home and in the marriage, it's hard to say, Lord, thank you. Now again, let me preface that, or clarify, I should say, with that, if you are living in a sinful way, or there is sin in your life, or you're being disobedient to God, you can't go, Lord, thank you for that. No, that's your own, I won't say it, that's your own ding-donginess, isn't it? So many people say, well, oh, I don't understand why I'm in this position. Well, it's because you chose to do wrong. You chose to disobey. You chose not to follow the Bible, the Word of God. We'll come back to the Bible. My friends, we will have so much clarity in our lives. The Bible gives clarity. And then in this situation, you and I cannot live outside of the Word of God and be in the will of God. Let me say that again because I stuttered a little bit and stammered. You cannot be outside of the Word of God and be in the will of God. You can't do it. Because when you close this book at home and in your life, if you will, you start to live outside of the will of God. You start to live your own life, your own way, your own thing, don't you? And that's what he's saying. You will not have the proper gratitude if you have this book in a closed position. You and I must be faithful to that. We cannot give thanks in our prayer time if we do not know the promises of God, let me say fourthly. Do you know the promises of God? Because if you don't know the Word, then you don't know the promises, and then you consequently cannot give proper thanks to God. Lord, I know I'm going through a tough time, but I also know that what? Your Word says, dot, dot, dot. I know that's a little elementary. We know some of those things. But you think, I cannot give proper thanks and gratitude if I don't know the Word of God and I'm not living in the will of God. Now notice this as we continue. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are several things in the will of God. Number one is salvation. The first step in the will of God is that you be saved. We're working on our children in that area. Do you know you're saved? Do you know that? Next would be following the Lord in certain steps. You know that, in obedience. There's baptism. There's then seeking the perfect will of God for their other areas of their lives, right? Their friendships, their future spouses, and their job, and their location. All those things that you think and think about for a person's life. But there are several areas of the will of God. The will of God is very clear for us. If we will seek the will of God, we will find the will of God. There's a misconception among Christians today that the will of God is elusive. The will of God can't be found. The will of God is somewhere out there and we can't find it. That's a lie from the adversary. He came to Adam and Eve in the very beginning, didn't he? And he told them that God's will was not sufficient. God's word was not accurate. God's will was not perfect, right? We use the term often, perfect will of God. And it began to move in, especially Eve's mind, that maybe God does not have his best intentions in mind for her and for Adam and for the future humanity and all of that. But the adversary wants all of us to get in that, wants us to get outside of that will, outside of God's perfect will. There is a man in the New Testament by the name of Demas. And Paul makes reference of him twice in the New Testament. And first mention of him, he says there in Colossians, Demas is with us and he's faithful and he's serving and he's helpful and all of those things. But later in 2 Timothy, he mentions him again. And you know what he says about Demas? He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was no doubt a godly man that loved the Lord and served and all of those things, but he decided to serve the world instead of the will of God. And you and I must make a choice today. We're either going to do the will of God or we're going to do the will of the world. And the world has a will, by the way. And if you don't want your kids, the world will take them. If you don't want your marriage, the world will take it. If you don't want what you have right now, the world. And how does that, what happens? It starts by not giving thanks or being thankful for what we have. We start to look to the world, don't we? Old Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He wasn't satisfied with the will of God, which was staying and being supportive of Abraham and Sarah. And oh, what Lot could have had if he stayed with Abraham and Sarah. What he could have had if he trusted the Lord's will. Can you imagine that? All that Abraham went on to do and what he could have had and how he could have been a part of that. But he ended up in a cave, his wife being killed, the city that he loved burned to the ground, and in a cave with his two daughters in horrific sin. And what produced that, those two nations that came out of those two girls, will become enemies to the nation of Israel to this very day in 2021. They're enemies still today of Israel. What happened? One man chose to step outside of the will of God. What Paul says here is he says, you come back, you understand and know the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you is that you would give thanks in everything. And I said this morning, but ultimately and in essence, you're saying, God, I believe you're in control. I trust you. I trust you. And oh, the unbelieving friends and people around you when you're going through a difficult season and you make that statement, I don't understand everything, but I trust God and I trust Him enough to thank Him. What they'll say, boy, never heard that before. They're going to think you're either crazy or you're a super good Christian, aren't they? Man, he's nuts. They're nuts. You think about this here tonight that he says the will of God. Now, Paul says, I'm going to give you several directives, if you will, to follow and to try and implement into your life and into your church. And one of them being church at Thessalonica is that you give thanks. You trust in God. Can I ask you tonight, are you giving thanks to Him? More than words. Oh, for me, it's words often, isn't it? It's words. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I say often to people, oh, thank you very much. Thank you. It's just words. Sometimes with no intention or meaning behind it. We ought to thank God, you know that from the heart. Thank Him with our actions. Prove to God that we're thankful. Prove to Him. How do we do that? By not falling to pieces and falling apart and getting upset and all of those things. By not stop trusting Him. By the way, when we stop thanking God, we'll eventually just very slowly stop the momentum in our Christian life. We'll stop moving forward. We'll stop striving and trying in our marriage. It's tough, isn't it? You just stop trying. You're sick of the same old, same old. You're sick of the same argument that comes up every Sunday night, every Monday morning, every Wednesday, every Saturday night. You stop striving. Well, we stop being thankful. We stop trying to implement truth to our children and grandchildren. We stop trying to be pure and holy and righteous for God. We stop being thankful. It all comes back to that, doesn't it? Our gratitude. And I love it. The attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. You and I know this. Now, if you will, we're going to go back to Ephesians 5 real briefly here. Would you go to Ephesians 5? We're going to see here what Paul talks about to the church at Ephesus. Now, Ephesians 5, if you're there, notice verse 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We read this a few maybe a couple months ago. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it be not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. That's a constant sarcasm and joking about yourself. No seriousness, which are not convenient. Notice, but rather giving of thanks. But rather giving of thanks. He says, instead of all of these things, you ought to be giving thanks. A mature, sober, vigilant individual, what does he do? He has the ability to give thanks. But someone who doesn't, notice, who's not following God, as he says in verse 1, who's not a child of God, if you will, who's not walking in love, who's not acknowledging what Christ did for him as Christ loved him and gave himself as a sacrifice, but indulges in fornication, indulges in uncleanness, indulges and sits down and thinks about covetous things. Notice, is in filthiness, foolish talking, that's perverse and filthy talking, constant immaturity, if you will. Notice, they're not giving thanks, but rather giving of thanks. But rather giving of thanks. What a wonderful statement at the end there. When you give thanks to God, there brings about a great maturity and a great growth in your life spiritually. You have the ability to say, Lord, I'm going to give thanks on purpose. You and I have to give thanks on purpose. It's not going to happen. We're not people. We're not human beings that naturally give thanks. It doesn't happen overnight. It just doesn't come out of our mouth, does it? It takes effort. We have to do it. We're teaching our kids that, you know. Did you say thank you? They don't do it naturally, nor do I. Did you say thank you? And my wife told me the other day, and somebody gave me something, And it was just in passing, and I told her about it and this and that, and I gave her the big story and all. Man, you won't believe it. And then she at the end said, "Did you say thank you?" And I said, "No, I didn't." "Oh, I didn't say thank you." So I contacted and said, "Hey, I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you did." It's not natural, is it? Now let me finish out here. We understand and see that Paul writes in his epistles to his children, to his churches, and he really pushes or encourages them in this attitude of gratitude. You know, Jesus Christ, as he came and knelt there in the garden, and he began to sweat great drops of blood, and he asked, he says, "Nevertheless, not this my will, but thine be done." He makes an spirit, if you will, the spirit of thankfulness. The spirit saying, "Lord, I don't want to go through this, if you will," but we know he did. We know he had, and he was set towards this. He was not going to turn from the to the side from this goal of his that was given from the Father. But he also, with that, not only endured it, but he thanked God for it. He endured the things in his life, the impending, if you will, crucifixion, the pain and all of those things, but he also was grateful along the road. He was grateful. What a challenge to us this evening. I know that, and obviously, all of us need help in this area, myself at the very top, to think about. We grateful. Do we know that Christ is in control? Do we trust that he's in control? Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Like little Johnny sat down at Thanksgiving table and he looked down and he looked at the food and Mama said, "Well, would you give prayer for the food?" And he looked down at the food and he said, "Dear Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I'm going to thank you anyways." I don't like the looks of it. We ought to be thankful to God for all he's done. I want to encourage you with this if I can. Not only to understand that it's the will of God for your life, it's the will. Lord, your will for me is to trust you in every circumstance. But if you would, maybe take some time this week and write it down. Maybe you don't have to write it down, but just run a quick list through your mind of everything. You know, if you're like me in prayer, prayer time comes, and I have a usual list that I pray, but I also pray for mostly the same things. You find yourself doing that? Same, same, same. Now, God wants to hear our prayers. We ought to be careful about repetitious prayers and fake prayers, but we ought to take some time, if I can say, to sit down and just take one prayer time and thank God for everything that we can think of. It may take a little bit of time. It may take a little bit of effort on our part, but thanking Him for everything. And I'm saying everything, the details. I can't imagine, but if someone were to come to you and to me at one point and say, "I just wanted to take a minute and give you a list of everything that I'm thankful for that you've done for me." Oh, wouldn't that break your heart? Wouldn't that really just get a hold of your heart? "I just wanted to say thank you. Back in 19, whatever, I want to say thank you for going to work and paying the bills. I want to say thank you for being so faithful, Grandma, and going to church and not giving up, although you lived a difficult life and you weren't always treated well, but I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, Dad, Mom, for all that you did and stayed faithful through all the years to God and to church, for faithful to Him. I want to say thank you for all that you do." Oh, wouldn't that break your heart? How much more would God want to hear that? Simply thank you. Thank you, Father, for the ears to hear and the eyes to see. And God, for enabling me to have the ability to speak tonight and the ability to have all that we have. And Lord, thank you for the grace bestowed. Oh boy, what a list that would be. But notice this, when we fall and do that, we fall in line back to the perfect will of God. Don't you want to be in the will of God? I know you do. I want to be in the perfect will of God. God, where it would be, where you want us to be. Lord, we want to be where you want us to be. I want to be doing what you want me to be doing. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to be saying and speaking and all of that. And oh, how we fail, how I fail so often to not follow the will of God. But this area is the will of God. In Christ Jesus, notice this, concerning you. Do you know Jesus Christ is concerned for you? Hebrews 12 says, "Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind." We can faint in our minds. The road is tough. The road is hard, and we'll faint, we'll give up, we'll quit, unless we consistently look back and consider what he did for us. And that's what we ought to do. But notice this, Christ Jesus is concerned about you. He's concerned about your trials. He's concerned about what you're going through. He's concerned. Anyone ever come up and tell you that? I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned. Meaning I have a heart. I want to care. I have a compassion towards you and what you're going through. Jesus Christ is concerned about you. He's concerned about your walk. He's concerned about your spiritual growth. He's concerned about your problems and concerns and cares. He wants to know those. He wants to know what you are going through. Obviously, He knows everything. But He wants you to acknowledge that He knows, if that makes sense. He wants me to acknowledge that He knows. He wants me to acknowledge that He's concerned about me. Does that make sense? He wants me to acknowledge that. Lord, I know you're concerned about me. I know you care about me. I know you know these problems and these trials and tribulations. Oh, but God, I want you to know that I trust you. I believe you. I know you're in control. And I give you the thanks for all of that. Isn't that wonderful to think about tonight? We have a God. Listen, we're a little church on the backside of the mountain. Sometimes if we think about it, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Do you ever think that? Am I where I'm supposed to be? I mean, am I wasting time? Am I spinning my wheels? Or am I making progress? Christ Jesus is concerned about us. He's concerned about what we're going through. And I want to encourage you with that. Keep on going. Stay focused. Don't be scared or concerned about the things that'll happen tomorrow. That'll happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Let go of the things of the past. They happened. We made mistakes. We keep going. We focus on Him. But for right now, notice this, the present tense, in everything. When you're in it, give thanks. And now we can trust Him and give Him all the glory. And I want to stand before Christ one day, or bow before Him, as we know in Scripture, and be able to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for caring. Thank you for all that you've done for me. I pray that you would do just the same this week. As you gather maybe around family and friends, I hope that you do just that. And some of you may not, some of you will. But ultimately, we can have a little bit of a Thanksgiving celebration with the Lord Jesus Himself, just us. And take time this week. I'd encourage you to do that. Not only with family to say thank you to the Lord together, but also privately. And just take time. I guarantee you will not regret that one thing. Knowing as you give thanks, you're in the perfect, precious will of our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right. Lord, thank you for time this evening. We can open your word and we can look at your word. What a joy that is to me personally. Oh, Father, I thank you so much that we have a Bible that's in our own language tonight. We believe is perfectly preserved. We believe personally at our church that it is inerrant. We believe it's infallible. We believe it's inspired. And we believe that we have everything that we need both to know you and please you in this life contained here in this Bible. As we read here is this epistle that was written to this little church in Thessalonica several thousand years ago. God, we think about that gave these directives, and the one here that we read tonight was giving thanks because it's the will of God. And Lord, we thank you for that. Help us as a family, church family, and also our own families. And this week especially, as we think about this, Lord, often we're just naturally not grateful people as human beings. And Lord, we pray you'd strengthen us, remind us, and reveal to us, Lord, all that you've done for us, that you would help us. We love and thank you so much again for this wonderful day we could spend with you in your house. Bless us now. Be with all of us as we go our separate ways, and watch over us this week for your honor and glory. Again, in Jesus' precious holy name, we pray these things, and amen.